a great mate of mine, Stu Alloway. He's the community pastor here at Skylark Church. Oh, I had to catch myself. Skylark Church. And you know what? It's awesome. He has such a depth. And as I prayed for him this morning, I prayed out the fact that we often meet in coffee shops. And Stu is somebody who listens to the voice of God and asks God wherever he goes for words for people. And he quite often, flat white, will stop and say, "Sorry, just hold that thought for a second. I've just got a word for that person." He'll nip over and he'll just tap the person on the shoulder, give them a word, buy them a coffee, do something incredible like that. And you know, brings the kingdom of God wherever he goes. And do you know what? I know that he's spent time in God's presence asking for a word for you guys that is going to tap you on the shoulder and is going to bless you with something this morning. So tune in and listen to what God has to speak to you through Stu. So let's welcome Stu as he comes to the platform.
Thank you. Well, hey, are you guys well?
Yes.
A bit loud. Let's pray. Father God, God, I thank you that you're an incredible Father. Father, I thank you that you are for us, that you are with us, that you love us, that our names are written on your hands. Father God, I pray this morning that, Lord, you will meet with us. Yeah. That, Father God, we welcome you here with praise. We want this morning to be all about you, to point to you, for you to be glorified, for you to be exalted, for you to be honored. Lord, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I have loved this theme over the last couple of months of looking at how heaven and earth connect. And this morning I want to talk about how the Father, how the ultimate Father, our Father in heaven, pursues us for a connection and a relationship with him. I love the scripture in Romans 8:22 where it says, it goes along the lines of, the earth groans and cries out for the day that Christ returns. You see, earth is crying out for a relationship with God. And for us as humans, we are made in the image of God. Therefore, God has created us to have relationship with him and connection. I want to look at how the Father pursues us and how we can't help but feel loved, accepted, and embraced, and ultimately connected with. Before I was asked to talk, God has this way of downloading stuff to me. So what will happen is, before I'm asked to talk, God will drop a thought into my head. So for this, a couple of weeks ago, God dropped the prodigal son into my head. And it just got me meditating over it. And then he also dropped in free will. So I've spent the last couple of weeks pondering and mulling over that. And then Pete asked me to speak. And I know that what I'm meant to speak is the stuff that God drops into my heart, and then I take it as confirmation when someone asks me to speak. That's what I'm to talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. So the first thing I want to start with is when I just became a dad. So when my son was, there you go. Can you see that fresh-faced 25-year-old? No bags under my eyes, no gray hair. So I'm blessed. But when Judah was a few months old, we went and stayed at my in-laws, and they had just moved into their new house, and it was a great house. But Em's dad, he was working the next morning, so he had to go to bed early. He was up early, and we'd had a great meal together. We'd all hung out, and then we put Jude to bed, and so everything was going great. It was a great evening. But from about 10:30 onwards, this kid would not stop crying. And we would go into him, we would comfort him, we would change his nappy, we would lay him back down to sleep, and then he would go off for maybe about 15, 20 minutes, and then he would be back up again. And so Emma and I were just like, what are we going to do? Because we know your dad's got to go to work. You know when you're in someone else's house and you're just a bit, what do I do? And so Emma and I made this made this arrangement. I was going to get up in the night with Jude, and then Em would let me have a lay-in in the morning. So Em went off into the spare room, and Jude kept crying. And the only thing I knew to do at that time was, it was probably a little bit uncompassionate, but I picked him up in his travel cot, I took him downstairs to the lounge, shut the door, and went back upstairs, hoping that we would get some sleep. But this cry turned into a real distressful cry. And so I went back downstairs, and I was just at my wit's end. I was like, God, what am I going to do with this kid? And so I went over to him, and I realized that what he had done is he had his water bottle, and he'd pulled the top off, and he was drenched. He was soaking. He was cold. He was in a new environment, so he was probably distressed because of that. And then he sees me, and he's like, Dad, why have you left me? Why have you left me when I've been crying, when I have been screaming to you? You've not been there for me. And I picked this beauty up, and I took him upstairs. I couldn't find the baby grows. It was about 3:30 in the morning. Changed him, and I held him close, and I brought him into bed with me and just wrapped the cover around him, and he was asleep within minutes. It was one of those moments that, as a dad, I wouldn't exchange that moment for any riches in this earth, because it was a moment that I will always remember, that I got to hold my son close. And I remember thinking at that time, as my only son, that there is nothing that I would not do for you that was within my power to. Yeah. I want to look at the prodigal son, and in order to understand the incredible nature of the prodigal son, I want to put a framework in place, because although the father, the ultimate father, is always waiting, he's always there, sometimes it's us that prevents the connection with God, be that by choice or by decisions we make. And I've got these pictures. They just blow me away. It's a picture of a father with his daughter embracing her, and the father connecting with the son. I love those pictures. Firstly, a connection with God is a choice. Free will is a gift. I have a hero of the faith. His name is a guy called John Lennox. And John Lennox is a guy, he's a mathematician, pure mathematics. He teaches around the globe. And I failed maths at school. I have no interest in maths. But what he does is he goes around debating people like Richard Dawkins, atheists, people of different faiths, and he's like a granddad. He's a real sweet guy. You can't help but connect with him when you listen to him. And he talks about free will, and he says this. He says, God is an amazing God. And if God wanted to create a robotic world, he could have done. Of course he could. But he didn't, because the one thing you will never get with a robotic world is love and relationship. And with God creating us and giving us this free will, this free choice, we have that choice where we can come into the presence of God and say, we want to love you, we want to give our all to you, God. But he's given us that choice where we can go down our own path. And God, being the gentleman, the great father that he is, he will not impose himself. He will not get in the way of your free will. Like I said, he is always there. God's address doesn't change. He doesn't upstick and move. He's always there waiting for a connection. So, let's read the prodigal son, Luke 15, chapter 11. And we're going to read from the Message version. Have we got it up there, AP? Is that cool? If not, someone's going to have to lend me their Message Bible. Okay, the Message 11. All right, let me just get my iPad. Sorry, AP, I don't think I gave that to you, did I? It's all good. What do you call a three-legged donkey?
A wonky.
Yes. Okay. The story of the lost son. He said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to the fields to slop the pigs. He was hungry. He would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhand working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I am going back to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against God. I have sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, the father saw him. His heart pounded. We're going to talk about heart pounding in a little bit because that's really important. He ran out. He embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He called to his servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive. Given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. What's really interesting about that text is a couple of things. I'm going to talk about the heart pounding because that's really important. But it was the father chasing his son. So if we go on to the next slide. Now this is Linford Christie. And the young whippersnappers will probably think of Usain Bolt. But when I was growing up, it was all about Linford Christie. What a legend, eh? I remember Barcelona 92 when he won the 100 metres. I think it was on holiday in Bournemouth. I remember watching it, it's cool. But this is the thing, in the Middle Eastern, first century Middle Eastern, what's the word?
Times.
Pardon? Times. Times. A Middle Eastern man would never ever run. They wouldn't run for a couple of things. Firstly, it would bring shame upon them. So they wouldn't run because of that. And also because of their tunics that they wore. So I've got my props here. So they would have their tunics. A bit embarrassed that you'll see my dressing gown. So he would have his tunic on. All done up. And then what he would have to do. If I can do this up. He would put his tunic up like this, wrap it in. Now, sadly, my jeans are too tight for me to reveal my legs, I think. Here we go. Thank you. I tell you why I'm doing this. In year 11, I won Best Legs Award. So, you know. So he would have his legs out. And the shame that was attached to that is that he would have been ostracized. No one would want anything to do with the father because he ashamed himself. The text says, but while he was yet at a distance, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced his son and kissed him. Despite this impending humiliation, the father did not care what the crowd thought of him. The father wasn't bothered what was going to be said about him. Now, the Greek word used for ran is a word called dromon. And it's a term, it's really interesting, it's a term that's used for a foot race in a stadium. It's a term used for an athlete who is going to be running to a target as quick as he can. It's all about a race. He has to win the race. And what I love about it is the father was not going to be defeated in the race to get to his son. Now, when I was in year 11... I used to be a sprinter, and I used to do 200 metres, and I used to do the relay. And in year 11, I broke the record for sprinting. And I'm losing circulation to my legs. And so I've always loved sprinting, but as I've become a dad, the thing that now happens is it's dad's race and mum's dad at sports day. And just out of interest, whoever here has won run in a sports day race, be it a mum's dad, whatever. Okay, this is the thing that I have got from doing these races is Your kid picks you out and says, oh, Dad, Mum, can you run? And so you're like, oh, okay, all right, I'll do it. And then you see all the other parents, and you look at them, and you're all smiles, all coy. But I'm thinking, I'm going to have you, and I'm going to... I am not going to lose this. And, you know, I think all the other parents are thinking the same, and all this sort of stuff. And in this one particular race... And the annoying thing is they've actually changed it now. So you don't run the full 100 metres. You do 30 metres, but they've changed it in our school where you have to run with your kid. So you're at a bit of a handicap because, you know, so I'm just like, okay. So I spoke to Jude when Jude came, and I was very clear with him. Linford Christie talks about tunnel vision in his sprinting. And in my head, I'm already getting there. I'm thinking, I've eyed up my opposition. I'm full steam ahead, nothing's going to stop me, and I've got Jude by my side. And I said to him, I said, Jude, this is what we're going to do. Whatever ever happens, I am not letting go of your hand, and even if you fly, you're flying with me. And he's all there, he's like, yeah, Dad, you're going to do it. And I'm just thinking, oh, man, this is exciting, this is going to be amazing. And, I don't like bragging, but we won. Now, he won. My son grabbed me. He kept me going. So the father, he ran. There was a sprint. He was not going to be defeated when it came to getting to his son. Now, the Greek word for kiss is kataphilio, and it means kissed and kissed fervently. So these are a couple of questions I want to answer. If it was shameful for a man to run in that culture, why did the father run when his son returned to him? And what motivated the father to shame himself? So before we answer that question, I want to do a demonstration. So I'm going to ask my son, Judah, and Ben Shepherd, if they would come up to perform. Yes, all right, son. So, Jude, if you come over here, son. This is Ben, and you guys are the local community. Ben is your leader, and Ben here has a pot. Now, Ben's going to hold this up. Now, in ancient jurisdictions, there was a ceremony called kazaza. Now, kazaza was a big deal, because what would happen is if a Jewish son left the community, spent his father's inheritance money, what would happen is there would be a cutting off ceremony. So when the son returned, the community leader with all his villagers would lift up a pot high, and in front of the son, they would smash it. Now, Jude's there, my son. There's Ben, the villager. I am the father, and I am at the back here. So I am out every morning looking out on the horizon, seeing if my son is coming home, and I do that every single day. And on this particular day, I see my son. And not only do I see my son, I see a village in front of him, and I see the village leader with a pot. Now, you know when we spoke about the heart pounding? Whenever I've read that, I have thought the heart pounds because he is so excited about his son. But his heart is pounding because he has to get to his son before the village. So he, you know where we spoke about that word dramon, the Greek word about... Am I okay here, Tom, voice-wise? Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. So, dramon, that Greek word, the father is ready for a race to his kid before you guys get to him. So, I am at the back. I see my son. So, I sprint. I grab him before the village gets him. And not only that, where it says, kissed fervently. Love you. The father. The father who loves his son, who will do anything for his son, who will shame himself for his son, who runs as fast as he can before the village gets to him. That is the father that we serve in heaven. The God that is for us and the God that loves us. Now, so what would happen if I didn't get it? So Ben would then drop this. Now, I didn't get a clay one because I didn't want to get a load of glass everywhere or pottery everywhere. But it was really significant because as soon as that smashes, the kid, the father cannot do anything to restore his son to the community. The father cannot bring his son back in. The community have ostracized and the kid needs to find somewhere else. So the reason that the father ran, he had no option if he wanted to save his son. He had to get to his son. Wow. Thank you. The village would have followed the running father and they would have had witnessed what had taken place. And I can imagine the scene. The crowd was ready, but then one by one, as the father scoops and holds his son, one by one, they walk away. And there is no kazaza ceremony that takes place for that son. And there would have been the greatest of celebrations. But not just that, the father and son connection has been restored. Yeah. The son had repented and returned to his father. And the father had taken the full shame that should have fallen upon his son. And what I love about this scripture, as we've just read, it goes on and says, as the son is getting ready to come home, he's planning his speech. He's planning what he's going to say to his dad. And I remember when I was 18, 19, or 20, one of those. And most nights of the week, I would go out and hang out with my mates. And there was this time when I was getting involved and taking some... I would regularly take cocaine, I would regularly smoke weed, all that sort of stuff. And I remember I hadn't told my parents. And I remember when I became a Christian, Em said that I needed to tell them. And I was just kind of thinking I would just, you know, it was my past, it was all okay, I dealt with it. And Em said, no, you need to tell your parents. And I remember talking to my dad, and there was this part of me that was like, do you know what, it's my past. But there was this part of me that was really worried about having to share something that had happened. And I remember talking, and my dad just didn't care. My mum was like, do you know what, it's cool, it's cool. There was this real release. And this son, as he's walking home, he's planning, and he's probably thinking, there's going to be a kazaza ceremony. I'm going home hoping that my dad will take me. But if the village gets me first, what am I going to do? And he's going through all these scenarios and situations and all this. But what I love, and this is like our father, is that the father didn't care about his son's excuses. He didn't care what had happened. All he was interested in was a connection where his son would be restored and that their relationship could be redeemed. Yeah. It's why free will, I think, is so important, because the father is always in the same place, always waiting, and it's just a case of us needing to maybe do that 180, yeah, where he will then be chase us, pursue us. He is waiting and he is ready and he is there. It's us that sometimes prevent that connection. The father is a pursuer. He is mercy, he is grace. And he chooses to partner with his sons and daughters. So the application for us, our Heavenly Father has taken our shame through his Son Jesus, who willingly endured the cross on our behalf. He took our sin and shame so that we would not have to. In the parable of the good, of the prodigal son, it was only the father that could restore the son to full sonship. We are sinners. We get it wrong. We muck up at times, don't we? But a single repentant step in his direction, and the Father is off, and he is running, and he is wanting to grab you. He is wanting to hold you close and kiss you fervently because you've turned back and you're wanting to make a connection with him. I love Psalm 16, the Message version. My choice is you, God. First and only, and now I find I'm your choice. You set me up with a house and a yard, and then you made me your heir. Not only does God forgive us, but he takes upon himself our sin and our shame. He lifts off that weight that we carry on our shoulders. He willingly wipes the slate clean once more. And I love, no matter how many times we may screw up, it doesn't stop the Father from wanting to still connect and relate with us. While he was still a long way off, the Father saw him. He was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. This morning, as we've spoken about heaven and earth connecting, the Father in heaven wants to connect with us. More than anything, my prayer for you as you leave this morning is that you would know that you are loved by the Father. I don't know what your earthly parents may be like. I'm not here to dig. But what I do know from what I read in Scripture, from what I see from the prodigal son, what I see how the Father was prepared to give his son away so that I could come into relationship with him, is that the Father wants to connect. The Father wants a relationship. The prodigal son shows us that the Father, he is a pursuer and he is a restorer of people. Therefore, as I've said, regardless of our past and what we have done, the Father can still restore, still redeem, and still bring hope. He is a Father who will ensure kazaza never happens to us. He is a Father who is longing to hold you tight, kiss you fervently, and let you know you are loved. And as I have just said earlier, sometimes a connection with God and connecting with him is simply this. You're going down a route, and all it is a 180 into his presence, into his arms, into his love, and the Father meeting us and joining with us. As I was praying about this message, there was a few things that came to me, and the Father is a good Father. The Father is love. The Father gave his Son for us, and I just wanted to pause for a minute, for us to just, if we need to do that 180 in our mind and turn back to him, if we have at any time ever felt we are not worthy or good enough for the Father, then that is a lie. Because Scripture shows us time and time again that the Father is waiting for us. So God, as we wrap up and as we pause for a couple of minutes, may you highlight to us anything that may need highlighting. Lord, if we have spoken lies over ourselves, if we have felt unworthy, if we have listened to stuff of the enemy, Lord, I pray right now that your Spirit would just meet with us, that, Lord, your Spirit would just show us how much you love us, how much you are for us, that, Lord, a connection with the God of the heavens is open for each one of us. Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you are the ultimate Father. Lord, a Father that would, this blows me away every time, how you gave your Son so that a sinner like me, like us, could still end up in a relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I pray for us as a church this morning that, Lord, each one of us in these seats, for our kids upstairs, Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Lord, would you give us a new understanding, a new revelation of your love, your Father heart that cries out for a connection with us. Yeah. Jesus, we give you the glory. We exalt the name of the King, a name that can't be bettered, a name that nothing can come against. We exalt the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you are a Father that pursues his children. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you do not know Jesus this morning, we would love to chat with you. We would love to talk to you about the goodness of a Savior who came into the world and gave it all up so that we could come into relationship with the Father. If you are needing prayer for healing this morning, if you are needing prayer for breakthrough, if you are needing prayer, then we have a great team of people that would love to stand with you and walk with you and pray for you. But as you leave the building this morning, may you know that the Father pursues you. In Jesus' name.